get to push these buttons. And that happens in Sunday school on Sunday. We've gone through these predictions of Christ's predictions of his own ascension. And every one of these little packets are fun. When we look at these verbs, you will notice in your notes that I have only six. I need to say there is a reason I said only, because there are more verbs that refer to his ascension than just the six that I have listed in notes. I knew where we could go. Time-wise with this, and so I have to be a little careful not to get into some of these lists that are really pretty clean. And so you have six verbs, and let me get my list, my other list. And there are 11 verbs that refer to his ascension, and there are two nouns. And we are going to look at all of those. I might just, if I do, you're going to ask me to give you, spell them and everything, so it would be easier for me to skip them. No, there are. I debated whether I should give you some notes on it and decided, if you've managed the ones that are in your notes, you have a huge amount of material there. In fact, it goes beyond that as we relate to it. So I'm going to talk about it a little as we go along as to how many there are which use these forms. I'll figure out where to put my marker. Long live binder clips. In notebooks, it's easy to use those as markers. Okay, number one, he was received up into heaven. The word is analambano. Once again, I didn't help you very much because these notes were assembled from other places, and which means I did not put transliterated Greek in. And so I half apologize, because when I did these, I was on the fly. And these were done quite a long time ago. And I'm always on the fly, it seems. But analambano is a compound form. It's ana, up or out. And lambano is to take. To take up or take out. This word occurs 13 times in the New Testament, and five of those occurrences relate to the ascension of Christ and his being received up into heaven. And I've given you four. In Mark 16:19, it says, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven," and literally it's "into the heaven," there's a definite article and it's singular, "and sat on the right hand of God." And while I'm wandering through, on the right hand is out of, it's an ek here. There are some other prepositions that relate to his being in the right hand. Then in the parent, or the brackets that I have in your notes in Acts 1-2, "until the day in which he was taken up." After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the disciples whom he had chosen. Verse 11 in Acts 1, it says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up," same word, "from you into heaven," into the heaven, let's do it that way, "so shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into the heaven." And so you have those. Let's see, I haven't got my extra one here. Acts 1:22 is not in your notes if you want to add it. And it said, "beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us." It's an interesting, that's Acts 1:22. He was taken up from us. And it's apa in a contracted form, from us. So then the 1 Timothy 3:16 probably should be the dominant one. And that is, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And there's our form.
What did I miss about the Acts? The Acts. Okay.
1:22.
I keep going. I see it. Take my promise. All right.
Okay. Yeah, and all of those are, and I'm not parsing the verbs. I could just, well, I'll parse them for you. Every one of it is a first aorist active indicative. Passive indicative, pardon me. Passive, I was on the wrong end. They're all passive indicatives. So, at a point in time, someone else took him up in that manner. And so you can see this idea, to take up. The next one I have listed is in Luke 24:51. That's number two. He was carried up into heaven, and that's Anaphero. Good translation. Anaphero has the idea of to carry up or bring up or to lead up. I don't like lead up, though that's what Thayer says. Here in this passage we have another, you're right, passive. It's another passive verb. And so it's an imperfect passive here. It's kind of interesting. It was in this passage, it has a more of a continuous action, which is a rather unusual form here. And so he was carried up. Pharaoh is to bear or to carry. Up is another Anna. We have a lot of Annas in this segment. Trying to remember where I put these things. Okay. The next one is Peruamai, and I'll give you some stats. I'm going to stick pretty much with what's here. Peruamai is a verb that means to take a trip or a journey. And Freiberg in his lexicon translates it to go or to journey, to travel, and to proceed. Literally, of going from one place to another. And so it has this idea, and it occurs 153 times in the New Testament. 9 of those relate to the ascension of Christ. And so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What did I leave out? So I have John 14:2 in brackets. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I go. In that case, down in verse 12, it says, verily, or amen, amen, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So I am going unto my Father, and there we have a present tense verb. A little question about it. This verb is sometimes called a deponent verb, and maybe in a middle or a passive form, or an active. I don't like. I think it's a middle voice. I'm doing it on my part here in this, and so that is John 14:12. I'm not. You have 28. I'm not going to read 28:16-17. He says, it is expedient for you that I go away, and if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And you have to translate, go away, take a trip, go from one place to another, in John 16:7. John 16:28. I leave the world and go to my Father. I'm reading just part of the verse, and that's translated go.
What about 26? Did you have that too? Because you have it.
We may have. No, it was actually 26 in our notes.
16:26?
Yeah. But it's 28.
You just mentioned 28.
Okay. Yeah.
It's 28.
So it's 28. So okay. Corrected.
Okay.
16:26.
16:28. Yeah, so it's 16:7 and then 16:26.
Mike says 26.
It's on the second line there before 1 Peter 3:22.
Yeah, I see. It is
Yeah. The one that I don't know, I have that here, that here. What did I skip? I can't count. It's probably the problem. So you see, he was taken away, taken up, and received in a cloud. They were gazing into heaven while he was going into heaven, and he will come the same way they saw him going, taking this trip that he describes here. And so, it's just, I mean, taking a trip from one place to another. That's just kind of fun that God thinks it's important enough to use several verbs to describe what he did. The next one is hupsao. That's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. And let me grab it so I have my note on it. These are not in the same order. I mentioned I did this at a conference 10 years ago. And these notes happen to be the notes I used then, as far as the back, my research notes. Okay, let me get them. There it is. Definition. It means to highly exalt. Huper, to be high, exalt. Then hupso. Gingrich's definition, to raise to the loftiest height, is the way it's translated. Now in Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Mm-hmm. Highly exalted. Mm-hmm. Now, since we've been studying Christology, what's the significance of this? Highly exalted. Human nature.
You've got a
solution, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Being at the right hand, exalted, which many, well, I'll just say it for the record, progressive dispensationalists don't understand.
True. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you can see, again, it's all human nature. But I think highly exalted is one of the best words to do that. You know, did he need to take the trip in his divine nature? And he's everywhere at the same time, so what in the world do you need to take a trip for?
He didn't need the Father to do anything either.
No.
Also showing his equality or his...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as he goes in and he sits on the throne, and it's the sequence of events that are here not only demonstrate that he is an exalted man who's glorified, but it also exhibits the fact that he is a member of the Trinity and equal with the other members of the Godhead. Because he's seated at the right hand. He's in a place where only God could be. Even Satan couldn't sit at the right hand as an exalted cherub. And so when we understand that, I think that helps us understand a little bit about this. And a bino. Is the next one that I have, and again here I know I've got to juggle some things. Anna is to rise again. Bino, to rise. Anna, up. Anna bino, to use Gingrich's definition, he says to climb up, to come up, to ascend. And that obviously is the one that we would prefer. This verb is found 82 times in the New Testament, and 9 of those are used of the ascension of Christ. Now that's not in your notes. I didn't give you a list of 9 of them. I suppose that down the road a piece, some of you that do some teaching wouldn't mind taking one of these words and working it. And, you know, 9 passages is enough to make an easy Sunday school class. You know, I mean, you've got 9 of them. Really easy to interpret them. And so, I'll give you a couple more at least where it's used of him. John 3:13. No man has ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Interesting picture. We won't discuss why it says what it does.
3:13.
Yeah, John 3:13. Forgetting that I'm giving you passages that aren't in your notes. John 6:62. And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. I always liked that verse. Ascend up where he was before.
You're up in some of
Exactly. And again, the whole union, the hypostatic union, the union of the two natures, is really emphasized there. You know, we have to divide natures to understand it, but they're still one person. And so we have to think in those terms. Human nature, divine nature, person. And here's one of those that punches on person.
Binal again?
Anna binal.
So Anna is the same.
Again, oh, pardon me. Anna is up again, ascend again. And the binal is to rise up.
Okay.
And I like just the word ascend, but the combination is, but you can see there's some really valuable things that we can relate to.
Did you quote
John
6:52?
662.
Oh, 62, okay.
Yeah, so I read John 3:13, John 6:62. Interesting. Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And that's John 20:17. And he says, I ascend unto my Father. And he goes on, you have the word occurring twice in John 20, verse 17. Let's see, I've got to skip. I said I was going to skip, I don't know why.
Is that the same word in the Old Testament Hebrew, Allah?
It translates that sometimes. Allah occurs a lot of times in Hebrew. And in the Septuagint, if you want to know, several of these words are translate Allah in the Septuagint. Septuagint's not real reliable.
Shows up a lot in the Quran too.
Yeah. You're trying to stimulate me to make some wiseacre remark, which would be really easy. He said it shows up rather often in the Quran as well. Well, and you've got to realize that it's a Semitic language, and Allah means to rise up or go up or ascend, to be high, and that's what Allah means, the exalted one, the high one. So, kind of be nice if there was some kind of a reference to him, if it isn't him, in the Bible. And we have all kinds of other titles for deity, and that doesn't happen to be one of them. Okay, now Ephesians 4:8-10. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So when he ascended up on high, and that we talked about being high, this is the single noun off of that. Goes on, now that he is ascended, what is it that he also descended from first into the lower parts of the earth? He descended is the same also that ascended. And whoops, we just come to a fun one. He ascended far above all heavens, all the heavens, far above. And so you have, it's kind of interesting, huperano is our word that's far above. And so he was extended far, far above. And sounds like a little chart that we handed out earlier. When we'll be coming back, I want to go back over that to make sure you understand what that chart's doing on that. But he went far above all the heavens, far above number one, far above number two, far above number three. Who could go beyond number three? No created being. God inhabits eternity. He is bigger than the three heavens. And so here he went beyond those, and that's a...
And that would have been the reference where he ascended to his Father on the resurrection day.
That's the final resurrection, final ascension.
Mm-hmm. So the final
ascension. Final ascension here. Well, when he led captivity captive, I mean, there's, but this is anticipating, he led captivity captive, and I think here, I mean, it's an ascension. Well, we'll look at the results when you look at it. He ascended far above all the heavens. Did that happen when he led captivity captive to the edge of the third heaven? I think this is an overview of all of the events in something of a sequential order. So I think that helps us. That's Anabino. Okay.
Do you mind going back to John 151, please? And I guess I was trying to tie it into what are these angels that are ascending, and you got these other angels descending.
Now are you reading? Now are you reading John, or are you reading
John 1:51?
I'm ready to throw a curveball. Remember Jacob's ladder?
Right.
It's the other way around. You have descending and ascending versus ascending and descending. And I mean, and that's they're going to. That passage in John 1 is referring to the angels during Christ's, well, setting up for Christ's earthly ministry. And they, where did they go? Did they, it says they ascended to heaven. They left what? The third heaven, the heavenly throne room, to come down, and they went back, and it was part of that. And so you have, is that Anabino there? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought so.
Catabino.
And so they are just, I mean, they're, you can see, same root, ascend and descend. And cata, it's one of the odd uses of the cata prefix. You know, cata intensifies. And if you look in a lexicon, most of them are going to accept that descend. And some have suggested that maybe there was a root in the Jacob's ladder experience in Genesis, and I don't agree with it because they go back to the Septuagint and they use the same two verbs, as my memory serves me. Now that wasn't worth my moment. You know, I can talk Septuagint and I use it a lot, but I tell you, when I use it, I know how weak it is. I know how crummy it is. And there are those who live with the Septuagint. I have used it so I can get an idea of how Greek verbs are used.
One quick question. I just want a yes answer, a no answer, or I don't know.
I don't know.
When Christ went above the heavens, is there any chance that could have led the captivity ones with him as kind of a demonstration showing who he was? Or do you think they would be a total separate two different events? I never thought
that. Okay, I'm not going to answer that. Yeah, no. You gave me two questions.
Yes, no, maybe.
I never thought about it until now, is what I'm saying. And it's like, wait a minute.
No, I don't think he did. So that, the reason I don't think he did is because that he would have taken them where no one else could be. And in 2 Corinthians, I think it's pretty clear that he puts paradise at the edge of the third heaven.
But my thought would have been that he would have taken them off.
And then brought them back down and say, wow, you saw them nobody ever saw before, outside of the person of the Godhead. Yeah, I have a big problem with that possibility.
I can see that.
It just popped in your mind.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's what we do here.
I just tried that in seminary. I got a question for you. Yes.
Is this your preparation for next fall?
Yes.
Are you going to put a list of these things down?
Your reference to Jacob is in Jacob's vision. yeah. They were descending.
The letter, ladder.
Okay. And here they're ascending and then descending. What's any reason to explain why those are different? It has to do with, maybe not. It
well,
might be here. Is that precise activity dispensationally?
No. Yeah, and back with Jacob's ladder, it was the way he saw it. It's a record of what he saw. Where was he?
On Earth.
And so he would see it in that manner. On that, and I think that's more of it. And that was, it's just interesting.
Hereafter, you will see from a different perspective, he says to Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I'm trying to hurry and I'm not doing well. That's what happens when I have too many
pages. Well, you got a bunch of these guys going today.
Well, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Anyway, he went to God the Father. That's hupo-ago. Hupago, it's not a hupo, it's hupo, but it's jammed with a vowel, so there, lose your letter. Hupago, ago means to lead. And so the idea of to lead or to lead away, to go away, be led away. Hupago occurs 79 times in the New Testament. 18 of those relate to the ascension of Christ. Does that give you some idea? Now, that's why I'm giving you stats. Now, in my seminary notes, what I normally do, I will put the pages in Englishman's Greek, and I'll put the pages in Smith's Concordance to make it, you know, accessible in that matter. And so...
Smith's or Green?
Smith. Concordance.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Ray asked about Green, which is Thomas Sheldon Green. And, yeah, I see that hand. He's going to come and repent. No.
No. Oh, my.
It's not like I've ever picked on her.
So, anyway.
I love the babes.
Freiberg says of this verb, to strictly lead or bring under control. And then as we move on, yeah, let's see, he's got other, this is a big pile of definitions when you have that many occurrences. To be gone, to be off, that's in the imperative. With an indication of a goal or direction. So give you some sense of, I've mixed the ones I like best. I mean, the lexicons as far as their definitions.
Mine says, as of sinking out of sight.
Okay. That's interesting. Do you know what, which, doesn't tell you which lexicon? Yeah, okay.
Well, you're reading that out of, this would be either Strong's or Thayer.
Yes, it says Strong's.
Okay. So, right. Okay. So the passages. I'm just going to stick with these pretty much in John 16. John 16 and verse 5. There are what? I've got to stop in one place. John 14:5.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not in your notes. It's one I'm stopping by on the way through.
Okay.
And John, well, let's go 14:4-5. He says, "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And there you have our friendly little hupago form in both of those verses, just for free, that we went through. Let's read 16:5 as quick as I can, of course, get there. There it is. Now, I'm going to read it, and again, this is in the upper room, but now I go my way to him that sent me. He said, go my way, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Now, you had this in back earlier where that happened. Then, 1610, am I right? Yeah. Says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And the word go is hupago. Okay, so that's not so bad. There's a little bit of a textual problem in 1616. It says, a little while and you will see me no more, and again a little while you shall see me because I go to the Father. I like that little while.
What's the textual problem? Oh, never mind. 1616.
Yeah. 1616.
Yeah, I've got it.
The evidence is pretty. Strong for it being here. It's only just a handful of your Alexander that lived that experience.
Right, and what I did, I put the Byzantine text in my notes, but you don't have it in here because I'm just giving you a reference on that. Okay, 1617, last passage in your list. Then he then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is it that he saith unto us, a little while? And you shall see me, not see me again, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Confused disciples. They never got it confused. No, this is not the only instance. They couldn't figure him out in this matter. And he says, because I am going to my Father. There's our hupago. Mm-hmm. And you see how I translated it? Present. Active indicative. I am going to my Father. And so I think that helps us in this matter. So those are the key verbs that I put in your notes. And this will be plenty for you to work if you wanted to do some teaching in this area because let me get my notes in some order. So if I don't, I'll forget to put them in order and I'll never find them again. And so there are other terms.
Notice in 17 there too, we've got a process. So he's going to...
Toward, to face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's another one of those prepositions. That's that intimacy. Mm-hmm. Facing him. Yeah, and so we have, and we've looked at some really... I mean, these are really interesting forms as we looked at them. Yes. Now, let me just count, and I'm not doing any more than counting. We have two occurrences of the word apercomai. We have an occurrence of diestemi, to stand apart. In Luke 24:51, it says, and it came to be. See, I'm doing Hebrew again. While he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So you see, parted from them, and then you end up with anaphero in that one. But that's isercomai is found, used of his ascension five times. Epiro is found one time in Acts 1:9. Erkamai is a big, 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 fat Greek word. It occurs 632 times. One time it's used of his ascension. If you're curious, it's John 17:11. Okay, let's see. Way, and ellipsis. That's fine. That'll do it. That's what I want. But there is, I mean, there's so much here that describes, I mean, he's going from one place to another. And that's supremely important as we understand, for us to understand this in this matter. Now, how does he demonstrate his deity? That he is one person when he ascends. Because of, I mean, the context of Scripture. He had prior ascensions before this final ascension from the Mount of Olives. He had a thing or two to do when he ascended to heaven. Before, while he was in the grave and right after, he took his blood to heaven. There were a number of these, and like I said, we don't have time to talk about these
in this class. It's just, we have so many things that we want to talk about. It's awful to teach a class, not really, about an infinite person.
In a limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, I mean, there's so much that we can see. I hope this class stimulates you in your reading of God's Word to learn as much as you can as is revealed there about Him. Again, in a class like this, I'm trying to set some structures so you can think in terms of that when you come to that. And, you know, it won't hurt you if you come to one of these verses that is so important. It won't hurt you to stop and not finish the paragraph or the sentence, but to meditate and to figure out what He's trying to tell you about the second person of the Godhead. It just won't hurt. And, you know, you don't have to read one chapter a day to be a spiritual believer. You can stop at a verse and study it and meditate on it and check words and everything else, and you can be far better edified sometimes with that one verse than the way sometimes we do a chapter, like in that matter. So I encourage that. It's you know, there's a lot of freedom in not setting yourself on a Bible reading chart. I don't mind a Bible reading chart. Every one of us need to at least read that Bible at least once. And that won't hurt you a bit. But if you stop, you can read six chapters the next day if you're stuck on one verse. You know, it's not that hard on that. So, anyway. So, his prayer is sent to heaven. You have the one in 4, 9, and 10 of Ephesians. He led captivity captive. He had to ascend there. His ascension and the launching point is identified. I'm just going to refer to these, and you can double check them if you would like. It's on the way to Bethany. There's a pros for you. It's Helos pros. That is, Helos is up to the edge of and facing.
That's your 2 Corinthians 12, about verse 4, right?
You're right. So that's where paradise is, up Helos, the third heaven. In that. And fun word, I don't remember how many times it occurs, as many times as I've looked it up, and my memory did not record it like it should have. Defective machine. In that matter. But facing. And so in 2450, it's on the way to Bethany. 148 times is Helos. Yeah, and it's in some very, very interesting places.
You almost can't get more interesting than 2 Corinthians 12, I'm sure.
No.
That's a fascinating one, in as much as you've got both the prepositions there.
Right. We have a disease of valley. It's called prepositions.
Word study. It's called word study.
Well, word study is right there on the same page almost.
It's obvious from corresponding with people on the internet that it's not an epidemic.
Well, yeah, right.
It is a valley.
Chris has become known as Pooper.
And see, I'm going over and above.
Or above? Pooperano.
The funny part was he was talking about where he was going next in infirmary, and he's arm wrestling prepositions. Some specifics. You know, you don't have to know Greek. You just now have to know how to find things in Greek. You know, if there's one preposition you need to know, well, there are really two of them. In is in, or by, and soon is intimately together with. And that will affect the way you live.
And by the way, for students of Scripture, this thing you're talking about is not getting better in Christianity at large. It is actually on a decline.
Yeah, well, you know why I keep doing this? I want to make you weird.
Peculiar people.
Peculiar people. Yeah, I mean, it's so odd to have people that want to look at some of these words. And I'm sorry that we have that problem. I would love to be able to go and sit down in any church and to be able to teach some of these things. And I have been very careful in these classes and all my classes to make sure I'm laying the groundwork on it. I'm seeing that, especially like in the passive voice thing. There are a huge number of people. In fact, there are a lot of people that have been involved with us that don't understand passives. It's not real to them. They can't understand the significance of it. And it's nitpicking, but it's God's nitpicking, and I love to pick nits with him.
Yeah.
I got to put commercial light in here. It's on the Mount of Olives. Now, because we know where Bethany is, or the traditional site of Bethany, there's still a spot there. Remember I told you the Mount of Olives is kind of like a long hill. It's not like any of our mountains. You know, it's several miles long, 2 or 3 miles, and it's like a range, but they wouldn't call it that over there. And Bethany is on the southern end, and it's just down over the brow of the hill, and that road comes out of Jerusalem, headed down toward Jericho, and it comes over that into Bethany. And so we can tell one thing is very probable, that the ascension took place on the south end of the Mount of Olives, which is not where the Church of the Ascension is, in that matter. Okay, his ascension into heaven. Whoa, it sounds like this is time to pull this out. Dark time. It says he ascended into heaven. As we get here, I have it. Let's see, how do I lead you around this chart? It's what do I say? Put an X in across the middle, and it's down to the bottom quarter on the left. And it says into heaven, it's at an angle, and I've got these passages there. He went into heaven. Now, do you see the chart? I have a three-seater throne. What I have on the throne, and you see I put some glory on the throne. I try to make it to show that there's a space. How do you represent God the Father? You can't do it with a stick figure. You can't do it with a graphic. But his glory is there. He has a garment. And the garment of light, I'm sure without a question, is manifest there to spirit beings. And so when Christ ascended to heaven, he ascended to heaven, and remember, he and the Father together sent the Holy Spirit. They did it together. And so we can see that. So you can see into heaven. So he went into the third heaven, which means he went into the heavenly throne room in the third heaven, where the three persons could be resident. So today, we have two persons resident in the third heaven, and one is resident here on earth, and that's the Holy Spirit in our physical bodies as believers. And it's been quite a while back in this class when I had a color printer that was working. I handed out a chart that had on a timeline who sat on the throne in the third heaven when. Craig remembers, that's good. Anybody else remember that? Okay, Tanya does. So if you didn't remember it, I probably gave it to you. on it. And that is really handy. You should be able to figure most of it out, but it's nice to be able to look at it and say, okay, why is it this way? You know, as soon as the church is taken in the rapture, the restrainer is gone, and he occupies the seat in the third heaven, and he's there during the trib period as well as the Son and the Holy and the Father. So all three persons are going to be in the throne room as far as residency during the tribulation period. So when you think of that, what does that tell you? It's awesome. Because it means that God has chosen not to have a person resident here, so that there are certain individuals on planet Earth that are going to be less restrained than they are today, and that mid-trib, they're going to be essentially unrestrained, and you're going to have the anger of God and the anger of Satan and his demons, because they're cast out of the third heaven at the midrib, and there's no restraint. Now, if you want to be post-trib, I trust that God will rebuke you. Because, you know, the blessed hope, you know, the happy hope, if it's a tribulation period, I don't know what you're drinking. Because there's nothing happy that we know of in Daniel's 70th week. And I'm not just talking Revelation. I'm talking about the prophets. And how awful that will be. And
Wendy just told me that your pastor in Seattle would say that he volunteered to be here during the tribulation.
How foolish.
I stopped listening at that point.
How foolish.
No.
Sermon.
You volunteered?
Volunteered.
Yeah.
I'm not taking the Lord at your word.
Well, I'd like to think that he knows what the gospel is somewhere. Then he could be proven totally wrong.
That may be wishful.
But it may be wishful.
He'd be pretty glad when he finds out if he really knew what it was. I think he would be kind of foolish to volunteer.
Well, when you study scripture, you know, a lot of people just think of the tribulation as part of the book of Revelation. But I can read the Old Testament, and I know it's all over the Old Testament. The day of the Lord, the terrible day of the Lord, on and on and on. And did we go through that when we went through some SCAT here? Anyway, so okay. I'm still taking my 10 minutes. Into heaven, that's our chart. Then number five, his ascension through the heavens. Now I have to explain. Now you see my big arrow underneath it. I have through the heavens, through number one, through number two, through number three, and it ends up beyond the heavens in that matter. Now what I have, and you can see, I think it came out on your notes, the highlight on number five, you have delta, iota, epsilon. Well, delta, iota, and there's not an alpha. I've got to fight this. I'm trying to quit talking, using Hebrew word letters. I've done this so long, that gets me in trouble. It's dia. D-I-A. It's a word that means through, or through the agency of. This is a highly irregular verb, and it starts with a vowel, and it is a an aorist form. Through the heavens, he ascended or passed through the twos heavens, plural. And I put that in here so you could see it. And that's Hebrews 4:14. And I think because that's such a fun passage, we need to read the rest of the verse. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. There it says, seeing that we have a great high priest. You see why I wanted to read the rest of the verse? The great high priest. It's tied to our priesthood. The great high priest passed through the heavens. The AV translates it into. Correct it. It's through.
Good.
And so if you haven't corrected to make that clear, it's through the heavens. We already looked at the, I mean, we have a list of verses that says he passed into. He passed through them. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. AV translation, profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot, does not have the inherent power to be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted like or similar to what we are, yet without a sin principle, sin nature. So when you see that, when he passed through, what does it say? It says his human nature passed through. How do I know? Because it says we have a high priest, Jesus, and his divine nature, the Son, passed through, and the implication is that the person went through. And when we understand that, doesn't that affect the way we look at our priesthood? It should. I mean, we are human priests,
especially
in a heavenly priesthood.
Especially when you have a crash in the gate, boldness here in verse 16.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Let us come with boldness into the throne of grace.
Tying verses 14 to 16 there. The throne of the grace there seems to imply that's the throne of the Son. Kind of context. I mean, I understand it could. I mean, I know that other verses are very clear that it would be the Father, but in this context, because it's talked about, it almost sounds like that, but yet.
Kind of interesting. How often do we have, yes, we do have plural thrones, but it's not what the person of the Godhead said. The person of the Godhead are on a throne, singular. Around the throne, you have the 24 elders in there seated on the thronoi, which is a plural throne. And so this is, and I don't mean to sound frivolous when I say it, but it's a three-seat throne. It's a single throne, and so, and again, we've emphasized this so often, where one person is, the other two persons are involved, and on the throne, I think it's very difficult to distinguish between the activity of any single person of the Godhead. I think this is, I mean, I think the unity of the Godhead functions often, though it might be the will of one person or the other.
Kind of piggybacking on what he's saying, don't we get a little bit of help to contemplate that you're saying throne of grace, throne, the Son's throne, I mean, is that you think?
I was wondering, because the context of the two previous verses about him being the high priest, then would that be a reference to his throne? And that's what I'm...
As grace believers, don't we contemplate that grace resource is not exclusively, I mean, through the Son, a lot here I haven't put together, but definitely not only or exclusively from the Son, no less from the Father than from the Son.
Mm-hmm. And the idea of grace is not limited to the Son. I mean, we can see that and we know that.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, all three persons share the attribute of love. Manifestation of love is grace. And so, I mean, it can go, I mean, it could be isolated to one. I have a little problem with it because I'm seeing the emphasis on the human nature with high priest. You know, he says Jesus, and then he puts the person together in that matter. So I'm not, I think the throne is still, the throne, where's my picture here? My three-seater here. And then that's where that works. Now, on that chart, let me get my through the heavens is that big long arrow. Now, as a result, now I've got to keep following my notes or I'm going to get totally away. He ascended through the heavens. He ascended in glory, 1 Timothy 3:16. We read that earlier but didn't emphasize that. His being made higher than the heavens is Hebrews 7:26. Hebrews 7:26. So he went through and ended up higher. Now that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? In that matter. So Hebrews 7 and verse 26 says it this way. For such a high priest became us. I don't like the word became in the AV. I think it should be translated was necessary for us. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Higher than the heavens. You see, that's beyond the heavens.
Your verb, is it prepo? Right, prepo, you like the idea of necessity there.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at its use in Titus 2:1, which always intrigued me. And that's an awkward translation, too. I mean, it's sort of a misleading translation, Titus 2:1 as well.
Right. Right. But I mean, you can see, I think, I mean, all we're doing is saying there's a whole lot of information about what happened.
You,
So now the third heaven, so we got the throne room there, but mm-hmm. that's also the place where the spirit beings assemble.
Okay, it's also called the Mount of Meeting, a place of assembly.
Okay, and then, but then there's still a place where, beyond that, where only God can go?
Right. And whether, I mean, see, it's so hard to diagram this.
Is it a place above the third heaven? I mean, it's
yeah.
kind of not a place, it's just
it's
empty.
It's nothing that would taste the essence of the
yeah.
Because the earlier phrase that was used was far beyond. And it's like, and when you said that, or when I read it, like, how did you determine what that word far means
yep.
when you go beyond heaven?
If we didn't have this help here, but do we infer, I mean, putting these two ideas together, that he maybe actually went out of the range of spirit beings' perceptions?
Absolutely.
Well, if he went through the third heaven, he did, because only God, he went only with demons. Yeah.
So he literally just spirit out of there. I mean, there he goes.
Yeah, and when he comes back in, they knew something happened.
They knew where he knew where he'd gone.
You know, right.
Well, it Ephesians 4:10, it says,
yeah. It says far above
all the heavens.
Far as the heavens,
that he might fill all things. And then, in 1:23, he says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And imagine that would also refer back to 1 Corinthians 15, where after he presents everything back to the Father, that it talks about.
Yeah, and that's at the end of
yeah.
the kingdom. It,
you know, with that 1 Timothy 3:16, it just occurred to me that we could translate that as he ascended with in glory. He ascended with glory.
Mm-hmm.
He ascended with majesty, with the splendor. I'm thinking that instead of saying in glory, I think we should take it not in by, or in or by, but it should be with, because it was splendor. Mm-hmm. Because he did go, he was glorified at that point, and he went out of the universe while his spirit basing him. So that says to me that it was an ascension in glory. He was showing what he was showing the full opinion of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's with glory. I think it should be understood that way.
Wow.
Ascends in glory and returns in glory.
Yeah, because he was by that point he was fully glorified, and his ascension when he went outside the universe, there's no way that you could understand it any other way. It had to be mm-hmm. with glory, with the majesty that belongs to deity. So I think it's with glory.
It's a qualitative idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
okay.
I wanted to ask a question with regard to Craig's question concerning the. For instance, in the next chapter in Hebrews, it talks about, that first verse talks about Christ being our high priest, or who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. What other verse are you talking about? I mean, the throne, this is the.
What I'm saying, and what I think Scripture is very clearly saying, is that he went beyond,
yeah.
far above the heavens, and then he comes back to take his seat. The ascension is not complete from the Mount of Olives until he's gone out beyond any part of the universe, and he's come back in, and that's what I think it's definitely a display to fallen and unfallen spirit beings. As he comes back, and he's seated on the throne. And they, I mean, when he's seated on the throne, they all have to say amen. They all have to see he really was. I think the fallen beings probably had a lot of doubt. In fact, I think Satan tried to manipulate that to say, look, he's a human being. He's just man. Then he goes through the second heaven. Goes past the third heaven, goes out where he's gone, disappeared into a realm where only God could go, and then shut his mouth, his spirit mouth, in that matter. So, and then in the end it says, and Richard was just touching this in 8:1, Now, the things which we have spoken of, this is the sum. The sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And you see through each one, he's capable of being anywhere in any one of them, and beyond. And so, I hope that chart helps give you an overview. That's something, that's the whole idea. And really, the chart essentially follows what we have on letter D. We will, Lord willing, return under E, or else we'll follow his steps our way up into the third heaven. I don't think he'll have to take us beyond.
And leave the Amels behind the store.
Yeah, and leave the Amels behind the store.
Seven.
Yeah.
So kind of certain, right?
Okay, let's break.